From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, July 13th. Coming up, it's been a rough year for kids across the country, especially for those in lower-income areas. In one Midwest neighborhood, a small vegetable garden is providing fresh food and a safe haven. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Cities and towns in Illinois are calling on Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration to apply for the federal funds they're entitled to under the American Rescue Plan. Hannah Meisel reports.
Illinois is one of only 11 states that have not yet applied to receive the money on behalf of communities with fewer than 50,000 residents. It's been over 2 months since Pritzker's administration could have submitted Illinois' application for the funds, but hasn't. The Illinois Municipal League says that's left more than 1,200 cities and towns waiting for their share of nearly $750 million. Municipalities can use the funds for reimbursements of COVID-related spending and replacing lost tax revenues due to the pandemic. The money can also be used to invest in water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure, in addition to offering bonuses to essential workers. The league worries that if the state delays its application much longer, cities and towns won't be able to spend any of the money until November or even December. I'm Hannah Meisel.
The annual Redneck Fishing Tournament is coming back to Central Illinois after a two-year hiatus. Organizer Betty DeFord says she expects the tourney to attract upwards of 3,000 people from all over the country to Mason County next month.
Once you're out there, these carp are vicious little critters. They don't want to be caught, but they don't want you stirring up their water either, so they're jumping and going like crazy.
The tournament was founded 16 years ago to raise awareness of the invasive Asian carp. The fish has thrived in much of the Illinois River for decades to the detriment of the native ecosystem. The tournament is planned for August 6th and 7th in the tiny village of Bath, about an hour away from Peoria, Macomb, and Springfield. Undocumented students make up about 2% of all students enrolled in U.S. higher education, according to a 2020 report from the President's Alliance. As Illinois Newsroom's student journalist Farrah Anderson reports, a new bill awaiting Governor Pritzker's signature could make it easier for undocumented students in Illinois to get their degrees.
This bill would require every public university and community college in Illinois to designate an employee as a Dream Resource Liaison. The liaison would help undocumented students access available financial aid and academic opportunities. Tanya Cabrera, the chair of the Illinois Dream Fund, says many people throughout Illinois' colleges are already doing the work the liaisons would do. But she says this bill would provide institutional support and funding.
The House Bill 3438 opens up not just having our liaison identified, but giving them that title so that students and families know that there's someone at that campus.
If signed, the bill would require colleges to designate a liaison by the 2022-2023 school year. I'm Farrah Anderson, Illinois Newsroom.
OSF Healthcare and the University of Illinois announced in a press release that they'll be partnering with Parkland Community College to expand the Shield CU COVID-19 testing program. Starting on Wednesday, a COVID-19 testing site will be available at Parkland College on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Testing is free for all community members and insurance will not be billed. Still to come, we'll learn how a vegetable garden is providing fresh food and a safe haven for kids in one low-income neighborhood. That story from Side Effects Public Media is next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's been a rough year for kids across the country, especially for those in lower-income areas. In one Midwest neighborhood, a small vegetable garden is providing fresh food and a safe haven. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yusri reports.
On the side of a busy parkway in Indianapolis, cars speed past a flood of bright green T-shirts. It's a group of more than 40 high schoolers who gather each morning to work in a vegetable garden. The garden is the size of two basketball courts and it brims with tomatoes, cabbage, dillweed, and fragrant mint and basil. as well as a few chickens.
None of this stuff was here in 2019. We really just started all of this stuff. Like, they teach you a lot just by working here.
Kenyatta Reed is a 17-year-old with long braided hair and a beaming smile. She's part of a youth program called the Green Team.
For me, it's really the people. This, like, it feel like a second home. It's not really just about work. Like, it's fun to be here. And you get paid to be here, so just double it for me.
The youth get paid as much as $10 an hour. Reed uses that money to help with family bills and to do some shopping for herself. Still, she feels most empowered by the skills and knowledge she learns here.
So here, actually, the marigolds and the basil are protecting the tomatoes from nematodes in the soil.
Phyllis Boyd is the executive director of Groundwork Indy, the nonprofit that has organized this summer program since 2016. She draws from history and her expertise as a botanical and environmental scientist as she teaches the youth how to grow their own food.
So Native Americans used to approach plantings in this way, where you'd have the squash that would spread on the ground and you know, crowd out the weeds. The corn would grow up, and then it would provide a structure for the beans to grow. And so you'd have these all growing together.
And she makes sure her lessons go way beyond how to pair plants and arrange a garden.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we like to do, is not just have youth involved in the hands-on, you know, like, work that's, you know, dirty and heavy, but actually have them engaged in the process of how you think and dream about spaces and how you can change them, and then work on visioning and then planning and design and then implementation. And so they get to see the whole arc of, like, how you as a person can do stuff in the world.
Granted, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done in this neighborhood. For starters, the Green Team had to test the soil for lead contamination when they chose this spot for the garden. Lead is a toxin used in some industries and can be found in soil, old house paint, and water. This neighborhood is a hot spot for lead poisoning in children and elevated lead levels. The garden soil was no exception, but the Green Team had a solution.
You bring lead-free soil in, and you garden with that soil, and that's what you're in contact with, not the soil that's underneath.
Katie Hawthorne, a 22-year-old program supervisor, says outside of this garden, the youth aren't always given the space to try out things and find creative ways to solve problems.
You know, a lot of them are going to my high school, and I know how I struggled while I was there.
She came to the program during a college internship. She has a degree in public health and anthropology from Purdue University. And like many of the youth here, she struggled to find nurturing, safe spaces.
People not letting kids be kids, and when they say that inner city schools are run like prisons, I think that's a very serious statement.
The presence of police.
And it's just a very rigid system that doesn't allow for creativity, doesn't allow for them to make mistakes and learn from them in a valuable way.
She says for the Green Team, this is a place for hope and respite from a harsh reality. They live day in and day out. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Farah Yusri.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm and a high of 79 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Tim Shelley, Farah Anderson, and Farah Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.